Let's go to the Lord in prayer, y'all. Dear Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for your grace and your mercy on us, Lord. You've been good to us, Lord, and just thank you for going to the cross and dying for our sins, Lord, and shedding your blood for us, Lord. Just thank you so much for that, making a way for folks to go to heaven, Lord, and I'm glad you paid my way, Lord, and just thank you so much for all those helpers throughout this Sunday school time right here and right now, Lord, and all the classes back there, and take care of our pastor and them, Lord, and all the folks that are sitting sick and shut in right now, Lord. Would you look over them? Oh, Lord, oh, my God, be not far from me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to, I guess you can start off in Genesis 16. We're going to start look at the angel of the Lord. I know we hear the angel of the Lord all the time, but I hope I can get through this with some clarity about the angel of the Lord. You know, we're told the angel of the Lord, you know, we always hear that everybody say the angel of the Lord is Jesus Christ. And, you know, we all see it, but we know, 16. I would say it's Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And, but, you know, we kind of like to see scriptures to kind of try to prove this, the stuff that we be hearing and all that kind of, all that right there. You know, a lot of times sometimes we think of angels, we think of, you know, the cherubims and the seraphims and seraphims and the cherubims and all that right there. And, you know, the angel of the Lord is not the, it's not that type of angel. Angel of the Lord is not the seraphim and cherubim. Them seraphim and cherubim, those angels were created. But angel of the Lord, you know, we look at this, Jesus Christ. Christ is always being. Jesus, he's always being. So he want a created being. When we think of the seraphims, we think of in Isaiah as a six-winged being that fly around on the throne of God saying, holy, holy, holy. That's a seraphim. Jesus Christ ain't, I mean, I hate to put it anything about in the Bible as in a ugly way, but I just don't see Jesus Christ looking like that. You know what I mean? We don't see Jesus Christ, you know, having six wings. Ain't nowhere it said anything like that. When we think of cherubims, we think of a celestial being like in a human form and some animals or bird-like characteristics. But we don't see that in Jesus Christ, so we can't say that angel of the Lord, that the seraphims are those angels, is Jesus Christ. We can't connect the two right there. You know, like I say, I don't want to say that God made anything bad, but I just can't associate them, those characteristics as the Savior. You know what I mean? As Jesus Christ. You know, we look at sometimes you look at movies and it's got some crazy stuff in it. You know what I mean? And it just don't. Just, I mean, I just you just can't look at it as being Christ. But it says he says the angel of the Lord. I was looking at the angel of the Lord. I'm getting ready to get in some English right now, so y'all bear with me. Y'all bear with me. Hey, that says it's what they call a definite article, and it's specifying a unique being, somebody special. I mean, that's what our Savior is. He's special. That's what that definite article does. It's specifying somebody that's special. You know, I don't think, we're in the image of God, so I don't think the image of God has like six wings and all these faces that the cherubims and the seraphims had. Didn't look like, when we think about it, even though if we put the Bible aside, we think about it, we're going to think of a beast. That's about how we're going to look at it, you know what I mean, until we understand that those angels are of God. That's just the way we're going to look at it. And anyway, it's putting emphasis as a certain person, it's a special. This angel of the Lord is special. The angel of the Lord speaks as God, identifies himself as God, exercises the responsibilities of God. You know, when you look at it like that, it's things that only God does, that only God can do. In Genesis 16, that's our kind of our text area, but it's Genesis 16 is where we're going to start off anyway. In Genesis 16:7, it says, And the angel of the Lord found her a fountain of water in the wilderness by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, this is the angel of the Lord speaking. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress. The angel of the Lord is instructing her. The angel of the Lord is mentioned throughout a lot in the Old Testament. And who else does a lot of the instructing? It's always God doing instructing. Even when God told Moses to do stuff, God was doing the instructing. And to submit thyself unto thy hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered of for the multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child. Hey, the angel of the Lord is telling all this. I mean, the angel of the Lord was, but a lot of stuff was being predicted by the angel of the Lord. And shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. We're gonna go back into this area right here again, but I'm just giving you a few verses right now. And he will be a wild man, and he's predicting what he's going what this and he's predicting what Ishmael's going to be, and we see now that Ishmael is that. Hey, God can predict the future. Yeah. So if we look at this angel of the Lord is got the same characteristics as God, the same responsibility as God to predict the future. And he said, and he will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she, anyway, all right, let's look at Exodus 3. We can look at another scripture right quick. Exodus 3, verse 2. I had a few more scriptures there in Genesis, but I figure I better keep on moving because I think this might be a kind of short lesson, but I don't want to take a chance on messing it up. More I talk, more I get a chance to mess up something. You ever been like that? The more you talk yourself right into a hole. Anyway, that's what I'll do sometime. Anyway, in Exodus 3, verse 2, it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire. The angel of the Lord appeared to me in a flame of fire. There ain't no other man can appear to somebody in a flame of fire. I got that look like D'Angelo when he's trying to get serious with somebody. I say, you know, D'Angelo did like that. He did like that. Hey, but that's what it's serious. Hey, a man can't appear to him like that. Anyway, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked and behold, the bush burned with fire and the bush was not consumed. And verse 6 says, moreover, he said, I am thy God. Hey, who else can say that? Who else can claim that right there? Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Right there, it's telling us that the angel of the Lord is God. But I think that it breaks it down. The scripture's going to break it down a little bit more and make it more Jesus Christ. Than God. I'm gonna skip Judges. I had something for Judges written down too, but we'll bypass it and look at. But it's a lot of scriptures about this right here. I'm gonna jump the gun if I say that. Then I won't have nothing to say later. anyway, 2 Samuel 24. 16, it says, and when the angel of the Lord stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said unto the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough, stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Arnak, the Jebusite. It says, right, and when the angel of the Lord stretched out, who stretched out his hand to destroy it? Ain't nobody else can destroy anything like this but God. And the angel of the Lord, hey, I said, we can look at more where it puts the angel of the Lord more as Jesus Christ than it. But we can see that the angel of the Lord has got the power, it's got the responsibilities, got the powers, the duties of God. God does this kind of stuff right here. We look at where the angel of the Lord, hey, he went out and destroyed 100-some thousand Assyrians or something one night. The angel of the Lord is doing this right here. In some cases, the angel of the Lord was feared because they had seen the Lord. You know, that angel of the Lord, they saw him. You know, ass stopped and because the angel of the Lord was in the way with a sword and he saw it. He saw it. So the angel of the Lord could be seen. So I think it's safe to say the angel of the Lord, hey, you know, they say, I'm going to throw out a couple words here that I never hardly use, but throughout the reading and trying to say, I found the word, you know, or they found me or whatever. Anyway, it says theophany. Anyway, that's an appearance of God in a physical form. And that's kind of how we can see that right there. And then you got chrysostomy, is the pre-incarnate of the appearance of Christ. You know what I mean? That's what we can see a little of both, but I think it's more of a pre-incarnate of appearance of Christ. The appearance of an angel, the appearance of the angel of the Lord, you know, it decreased after the incarnation of Christ. After Christ was born, that appearance, you didn't see it. You saw it a whole lot in the Old Testament. But I think you almost, when I say Old Testament, I'm still kind of including Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and maybe kind of Acts right there. But when you get in the New Testament, that angel of the Lord, I think it only appears maybe. But then again, I don't think it says the angel of the Lord. I think it says the angel of God. You know, it only appears like one time. I think it's in Galatians 4. I might hit that a little while. I think it's in Galatians 4:14. So that angel of the Lord, hey, we got Jesus Christ now. We ain't got that. We don't have the angel of, hey, we got Jesus Christ now, and we got his whole revelation right now. You see what I'm saying? Oh, y'all, I should have read some other scriptures. I think we're going a little quicker than I thought. But like I say, that angel of, that's them sightings. It decreased. In the Pauline epistles, we don't see it. Like I say, I think Galatians is about the only place that mentions that right there. When Jesus Christ was born, we got him now. Like I mentioned earlier, let's look at something in Galatians 4:4. It seems like you can't always. I mean, I love stuff out of the Old Testament, but it seems like you can't. I heard some people say the only thing they preach out of is the Old Testament. I like the Old Testament stuff. I like Old Testament stuff. So I guess for folks that think you got to have New Testament, we're going to look at something in the New Testament right quick, too. But we may hit this verse again. Anyway, in Galatians 4:14, this is the only other place it's mentioned in the Pauline epistles. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despise not, nor reject it, but receive me as an angel of God, even as Christ. When that angel of God, we're looking at them Christ, like, I guess in a sense they kind of interchangeable right there, but when we look at the angel of God, we can still see Christ right there. He said, receive him as an angel of God, even as you receive Christ. Genesis 16:7. I hope this be a help to you somehow. But it's something that I always thought about, and I said, I want to be all right to do Sunday school lesson on about the angel of the Lord. You know, we hear it all the time, and you know, pastors tell us stuff all the time, and we just take it as the gospel. You know what I mean? We take it because the pastor said it, but sometimes we go through there and don't check it out for ourselves and see why is it like that. Anyway, you know, in Genesis 16:7, this is the Old Testament of appearance of Jesus Christ. Jesus often appeared in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord. In verse 10, 16, 7, verse that section we read earlier. But in verse 10, the angel of the Lord speaks as God. He said, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. That's the same thing that he told Abraham. He's going to multiply the seed like the sands of the earth or something like that. Hey, that's the same language, the same type of language that God the Father, that God uses. You know what I mean? That's the same type of language that God uses right there. It sounds like God is speaking right here. So we can say, we can look at the angel Lord. It's not just a regular angel. It ain't just a created being. It's God. In verse 11, it says, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child and shalt bear a son and shalt call his name Emmanuel, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. See, because the Lord had heard thy affliction. The angel of the Lord is talking, but he's referring to Lord God the Father. Abraham's doing the angel of the Lord is speaking, but he's referring to God. So the angel of the Lord, he couldn't be the one, the angel of the Lord. What I'm saying, they're separating the two right there. The angel of the Lord, but he's referring to God the Father. But he's referring to God the Father. That's what I want to say. It's referring to God the Father. In verse 13, And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me, for she said, have I also here looked upon him that seeth me? In verse 13, we know that the angel of the Lord must be of God, because what she said, we know it can't be God the Father, because she sees him. And John said, no man has seen the Father. No man has seen the Father. You know, man, woman, no man has seen the Father. So the angel of the Lord, so it can't be God himself, the Father. It's got to be, the only thing we can start narrowing it down to now, that it's got to be Jesus Christ.
That's right.
It's got to be him. No man has seen God at any time. So I think it's safe to conclude right here that the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, our Savior. I mean, Jesus done everything else. I mean, he's we're going to hit that in a little minute too, but he's involved in everything, all of creation. Everything was created for him. Everything revolves around the Son. Everything revolves around him. I think this Genesis 16, that 7 through 12 here, that was the first mention of the angel of the Lord in that section right there. And you heard of the law of first mention, and it covers quite a bit of stuff right there. The angel of the Lord. I think we get a pretty good understanding of that right there from some of the scriptures right there. The angel of the Lord. All the saints, old time saints, I guess you can call them. They had to deal with him. They had to deal with the angel of the Lord. All of them had to. They had to deal with him. In Genesis 18, look at Genesis 18, 22. Genesis 18, 22, and the men turned their faces from thence and went up toward Sodom. Is that right? I might have the wrong scripture. I might have the wrong scripture, y'all. Might have wrote down the wrong thing.
18, 1,
hold on. Let's try it anyway so you can make it work. We're going to try it anyhow, all right? If we don't, well, sometimes as I read something, it'll start making sense to me why I wrote it down. If we don't, we'll just shut it down. We'll just turn the radio off. You go on about our business, huh? Delete that part right there. Anyway, let me try it. Let's see. Let's start at verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because there is sin in various, sin is very grievous, I will go down now. That, who's that Lord right there? I would go down. I feel like Brother Wayne right now. Brother Wayne preached a message one time. He preached about the impotent man. And Brother Wayne took it as important man. He said he preached it as he was an important man, but it preached, even though he didn't use the right definition, right word, but it preached. And that's about what we're doing right now. You know, it might not be what I was looking for, but it preached. And Brother Wayne, that's what he said. That's my Lord. Because it seemed like he always helped him out in the situation. Anyway, we'll try it anyway. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because there is sin in it, sin is very grievous, I would go down now and see whether they have done all together according to the cry which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces thence and went toward Sodom, but Abram stood not before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Let's look at that. Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city, wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place of the 50 righteous that are therein, that be far from thee to do after this man. I slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked and be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And who's the judge of all the earth? We can see that right there as the Savior. Everything will be judged by him. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the places for their sake. Anyway, we can see it in that right there. In Exodus 24. I don't think that's the exact scripture that I wanted, but I think it kind of shine a little light on it. Exodus 24. We just look at what it is, how folks in the Old Testament had to deal with this Lord, this angel of the Lord. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in its clearness. Who was that? That this Lord, that God right there, the angel of the Lord. Hey, you can't see God, but you can. Sometimes we can't see God in these a lot of the scriptures, but we can see the Lord in a lot of the scriptures. Judges 13. Verse 12. It says, and Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I have that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I can commanded her, let her observe. Who? Jesus, our Lord, our God, is the only one that gives out commandments about anything. And the commandments right here is about eating and drinking. Hey, I know it's a Nazarite commandment, but still, only person that gives out commands is him, is our God. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that it was the angel of the Lord. He's conducting himself as God. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is a secret? So Manoah took a kid of an meat offering and offered it upon a rock upon the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife took, and Manoah and his wife looked on it, and it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from the altar that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. That kind of looks like something that's only God is in the God was pleased with this thing, and the angel of the Lord said, I'm going to get on that thing right on the way with it. You know what I mean? And in the flame, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah, when he said appeared, that's what this angel is. It appeared to people. It came in where they could see it. We could see, and the scripture is saying that. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. They didn't die. They didn't die. So we only conclusion, and they state that person, that being, that angel was God. So it couldn't be nobody but Jesus Christ. Who else could it be? That definite article, sometimes I quite don't understand it. But I know when it says the angel of the Lord, I know it's talking about somebody. He's set apart. He's different than anything else. He ain't just that regular old A angel. You know what I mean? In Acts 12. I know some of the stuff is kind of redundant, but sometimes that's the only way I learn stuff is somehow I got to beat it into my head. The only time I remember. Some scriptures I don't know. Some scriptures I don't even know. The only reason I know them because the pastor preached them so many times. You know what I mean? And that's a benefit because I get to go use them out on the street somewhere. Huh? Angel, we're going to look at that, and I think Acts 27. 23. Acts 12:23 says, and the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten with worms and gave up the ghost. The angel of the Lord, I say again, we see this angel of the Lord doing the same stuff. The same type of stuff as God. He's got the same responsibilities as God. But I think we kind of prove that this angel of the Lord is not God the Father, it's Jesus Christ. Look in Acts 27:23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Only person we serve is our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. That's who we serve. That's our God, and that's who we serve. And we're going to go back to Galatians 14. I think I said I had something in Galatians 14. Galatians 4:14, I'm sorry. Again, I'm going to just hit it again. And 4:14, and my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ. So again, like I mentioned earlier, we can still associate them as Christ, the angel of God, angel of the Lord, as Christ. We can put them together as Christ. Keep in mind that the idea of the word, that angel is basically, when that angel's mentioned, it's an appearing. Every time that angel is mentioned, he showed up there. The angel, every time he's mentioned, he showed up. It's an appearance. So we can look at that. Every time we look at that angel of the Lord, hey, he appeared there, and they could see him. I'm telling that like I see it. I don't see where it could be anything else. I guess one of the lessons we got to learn from this thing is that Jesus, our Savior, hey, he was in the Old Testament talking to folks. He was dealing with people then, and that's who you got to deal with now. It's all throughout all the Bible. You had to deal with Jesus in some form. You had to deal with the Christ in some form. Hey, they had to deal with Christ to have some kind of righteousness. In the Old Testament, and you got to deal with Christ to have some righteousness now. If you don't deal with Christ now, you get to deal with Christ later. Dealing with Christ now saves your soul. Dealing with Christ later dooms you to hell. Well, you're already doomed if you hadn't accepted it. That's it. Sunday school.